It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
In our part of the country, the chrysanthemum has long reigned as the king of fall flowers, and it's still the most popular plant to pair up with pumpkins and corn stalks as an autumn decoration. But there's a new kid in town that's elbowing a space on the throne, if not as a king, then surely as a crown prince of cool season color. Actually, asters have been around for ages, but for some reason, they haven't been a big part of the commercial gardening scene on the Central High Plains until the last few years. I don't really know why, because they seem to make it just fine in our climate and growing zones. Now, please understand that I'm talking about hardy asters, as opposed to the annual cultivars commonly called China asters. These large, brightly colored blossoms are great as a cut flower and usually bloom in midsummer. Hardy asters are perennials that bloom in late August through October in cooler shades of blues, pinks, and lavenders. Much like mums, they give masses of blooms on stalks that can grow as high as 4 feet, and then they die back with the first hard freeze. Springtime weather wakes them up, and if you've cleared the old foliage, they'll soon fill the void with new stalks that may require cutting back to keep them from becoming floppy in our infamous winds of summer. Like cushion mums, asters will bloom best in mounded masses. They do well in large pots if some food, water, and manicuring is done on a regular basis. They'll produce their most colorful show if they can get full sun, or at least limited shade time. And like their chrysanthemum cousins, they'll want dividing every 2 or 3 years to do their best. This is best accomplished in early spring, with edge plants replanted and tired centers discarded to the compost pile. I must confess that I have been remiss in aster care of late, and mine have lived at the same garden address for several seasons. I can't say they've suffered much for it. This year's colors have been vibrant, probably because I gave them a healthy shot of fertilizer in the spring. I also think our cooler summer, sprinkled with showers, have helped make the asters a bright spot in the landscape. Their blooms are also a major attraction for butterflies to stop off for a brief respite on their fall migratory journeys. Aster means star in Latin. It's said the goddess Virgo scattered some stardust on Earth, and where it fell, clusters of small daisy-like flowers with yellow centers sprang up, reminding people of the night sky. Medieval herbalists called the plant starwort and mixed an ointment of hog fat and aster leaves to be used as a cure for the bite of a mad dog. The flowers were believed to be magical, as their yellow eyes could watch for evil spirits and drive them away. In Britain, they were renamed Michaelmas daisies because on Pope Gregory's calendar, the feast of St. Michael coincided with their flowering. The Victorians like to think that asters, a magnificent curtain call of summer, were also a new beginning after a long winter's sleep. If you'd like to put some stars in your landscaping crown, you can plant the annuals from seed or look for New England hybrid transplants at garden centers in the springtime. Or better yet, try to find a gardener with an overcrowded aster bed and offer to reduce the population a bit. I know I'm planning to thin mine out next spring if you're in the neighborhood and want to lend a hand.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.